everyone.
Hello.
Hi. I had to start the episode because we,
as is custom,
fucking around.
Yeah, right.
This recording has been going for 40 minutes.
Yeah, right.
I haven't started yet.
There was a lot to discuss.
Yeah, right.
My instinct would be like, oh, Dave is making a joke, like exaggerating. But also, I factually know that is not true.
We are at 38 minutes and 54 seconds.
And none of it is podcast.
No.
Not a moment of it.
I would argue this isn't podcast. Yeah.
Well, you know, it depends on the vibe. And today I say that this is indeed the vibe of Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am, as always, your GM, Nathan. Hello, dear players around the table. Could you please remind all the listeners at home who has been just absolutely faffing about for the last 38 minutes or so, starting with the person to my right.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I am playing Selv Asterlin, the Dragonborn Monk. And today, only Selv Asterlin, the Dragonborn Monk, will be played by me since we have completed the Regency arc. And to my right.
I do not know where you were going with that.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I play Kaskrin Brightmane, the Dwarven Warlock. And my intrusive thought for today was, what if we all just did our intros at the same time? Let's see how that worked out.
You, as the editor, have fun with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, and, you know, you can do that in post, too.
That's true.
You know, we're getting crisp audio now. Actually, no, it would be even muddier somehow if we just overlapped it over one another, which is kind of fun in a way.
And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And Checkers is desperately searching the Red City of Agmar for his dear friend, Wendershins, who has not been seen since we left the restricted section, but is out there somewhere. He feels in his heart of hearts.
He's cold and alone and scared.
And he needs my help, Nathan. Why won't you tell me where he is?
I would say of species in the nearby area, probably in the top 10 least predated, would be whatever the fuck Wendershins is.
Yeah.
Like, weird magical book bird.
Right.
Book war bird.
Yeah, who does murders, genetically speaking. Yeah.
Stares down.
He's a Boyd.
Yeah. Right. There was a dragon skeleton in the middle of Agmar, and Wendershins is still the apex predator here.
Right, correct. He was the one actually who took down that dragon back in the day.
Mm-hmm. And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human Astric cleric of the Arcana Domain. And Val has a new buddy who's not really the life of the party.
Who's not, I would say, somehow is less approachable than Wendershins is.
Yes,
as far as new buddy rankings.
Everyone's
goes.
Getting new buddies today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's weird because Val now has two permanent figures in her life.
Yeah.
One awake and one while sleeping.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't think about that.
Yep.
I've realized the character choices I've made too late.
Yep. Yeah. No, I didn't.
And during the eclipse is the only time they can talk to each other.
That is right. We are indeed. Well, I guess you sort of have always been in the Red City of Agmar, but also like extremely not in the Red City of Agmar the last few dozen episodes, in that you are finally fully emerged and some amount of safe from the restricted section. And you have successfully gotten all the books that you were tasked to go get Lorana Moonglove's services to repair the member of the Bones who have become untethered. But all of that is still like a week plus off. And so I think the best place to start is a couple days into your magical quarantine.
Oh no, it's been extended past 24 hours?
It was at least 48 hours coming out. Specifically, all throughout the last couple of days, members of the Agmar SVU, as well as several other kind of prominent friends of the guild, especially magical friends of the guild, have been stopping by and doing full-on, we won't say guarding of the guild hall per se, more just like they're there to see what happens. and to be available should there be needs of any sort. So you've had to spend a couple days in the guild hall. And for the most part, no ill effects are presenting themselves. You were well taken care of by the city guard. Berga came with all of those supplies to kind of, even after the large feast, you had more than enough food and supplies for the next couple days. At one point, you even got a delivery from the library with additional kind of fun reading books as a show of gratitude towards your help. And
50 things to do while you're magically quarantined.
Right, yeah, exactly. A couple, whatever the Agmar equivalent of charades are, there's a book, a how-to book there. And now, finally, the doors are reopened. It has maybe been a cramped couple days because everyone in the guild was there.
Yeah.
Etrus was there. Hody was there. Taroth was extremely there. And it was just, you know, you were having a nice time, but I would imagine on, you know, day three, it is nice to finally, you know, they finally take down the caution tape and the various Geiger counters that they've put up and let you guys get your free reign around the city once more.
Hey, everyone, I'm starting a Houses and Humans campaign.
I have two questions.
Yes.
Mostly for Jonathan.
Yes.
One, how did they keep Checkers in?
Yeah.
And a follow-up question, how many beans did Checkers go through of that bag of beans during the quarantine time?
Yeah. Oh.
Because, like, at hour two, I'm assuming, he got two boards and was like, we're just going to freaking see how this goes.
Correct.
Beans.
I will say, if there was a singular time in the city of Agmar for strange magical things to go wrong or to stop a fairly magical, powerful individual from leaving somewhere, this was the time, because it was like, again, it was like multiple SVU members who are trained to deal with it. And like the likes of like Azan got hired for a day, like closed the shop for a couple hours to watch you guys. And Granak was there for a good stretch. And even both of the Calvettas kind of were kind of kicking around Namgar, etc. So like they didn't pull in another guild to watch, but it was like whatever the like step below that was in terms of surveillance and containment.
So the answer to your second question of how many beans did Checkers go through, the answer is one. One bean. Because he only got one bean off before it got confiscated.
Bean off. That's a very good verb.
Wow.
Nathan, I want to know, what did the bean do? It's very important to me.
It would have happened outside. It was sitting in the courtyard.
It was the only bean he got to use before he lost the bag of beans privileges.
I'm actually surprised that Checkers wasn't just sedated for the whole thing.
Right. No, he was after that.
Yeah, they may have had to.
Checkers, you have this special pie. This one's for you.
Just everyone used all their spell slots on sleep over and over. one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Could you roll me a d8?
That is an 8.
We end up with a colossal
Sophie, am going to request that if a pyramid was supposed to fall on us, that it does not happen.
No.
I would like the guild hall to survive this and us to survive
or we now have a pyramid for a guild hall.
No.
Everyone wins.
Yeah.
Except for us.
Yeah. Right.
So where are you throwing it from? What's the kind of like, just briefly, what's the energy of Checkers in this act of defiance, desperation, whatever it is?
Yeah, so I'll agree, like 15 minutes into the quarantine, he's like, I gotta get out of here. So he goes to the backyard, looks around to see if anyone has followed him, and just like sneaks a bean into the ground next to the hot spring.
Ooh, I really wish that you hadn't described it like that. For a couple of reasons.
Okay.
The first reason being you looked around to see if anyone was close by to stop you, and there were several within, you know, you certainly had the time to plant it, but like you were probably doing it, like making full eye contact with someone.
Yep. For
just
sure.
Like Skyrim stealthing right in front of someone.
Yeah. Basically. And the second problem with that is that you plant it, right? And that then just multiple people kind of converge on you all at once and are you very respectful, but are also very firm of like, hey, you have to go back in. And they're all wearing like arcane hazmat suits, yeah. essentially. And as they grab you, you know, they just you kind of just gently just kind of grab your shoulders and kind of push you back, assuming that there's no like
someone takes the bag of beans away. Yeah.
Someone takes the bag of beans. And maybe the reason that you go along so quietly is because nothing happens.
Oh, man.
And, you know, everyone is just like shocked for a minute. Right. And everyone's like, oh, my God, what's happening? What's he about to do? I heard about this in the library council.
You planted the one lima bean yeah. in the bag of beans.
And just as you're getting dragged away, the ground starts to bubble and churn. And for a moment, the kind of patch of dirt that you buried it under seems to get a little bit wetter and begins to bulge until a huge geyser
nice.
erupts 30 feet into the air. And I assume Checkers is out loud saying, nice,
yeah, go.
But unfortunately, that's when the smell hits you.
Oh.
Because the geyser that erupted, it is a huge spout of just vinegar.
Oh.
Just explodes upwards and outwards and into the hot springs.
No!
The hot springs!
And all of you can, like, this is a loud sound. It is not quite, you know, it's not like Old Faithful level, but it's like a full-on mini geyser that just erupts through the ground. And you all smell it immediately. It is the, like, just dankiest, horrible, acidic vinegar flavors.
And it's that for 3 days.
Yeah, this is how we have to spend the rest of our quarantine.
Unfortunately, it's only for... No. Fuck you. It's max rounds.
Yeah,
but it's for like a full like minute and a half that this thing is just exploding. And it gets to the point where you guys are hearing like outside, like different people being like, oh my gosh, like is what do we know what this is? Are we going to have to do something about this? And just everything for the entirety of the next couple days until near the end, there's a little bit of blessed rain that washes it just enough away. Smells like just vinegar. The grass around the geyser is like dead.
Kaskrin is just walking around with just like napkins stuffed into his nose. Mm-hmm. Like immediately just like, ugh, we're not doing yeah, this.
It's horrible.
I'm sorry.
So I'm glad you asked.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm not.
Good point.
So I also want to answer Sophie's first question in that what does Checkers do for the entire week while he's stuck inside? And
for like 2 days.
I love how it's progressively gotten longer.
Yeah, yeah.
For an entire like 3 days, yeah. a week.
Okay.
That's because the guild put him on house arrest for doing this, where it's like, no, you have to keep in quarantine longer. Something could have interacted with the beans. We just don't know. You have to stay here, Checkers.
He is going to hang out with Taroth and just like crawl around the vents in the guild hall all over the place. So every so often, you just hear like a heh, 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 heh. And then just like crawling feet away, but like for 3 days. Also.
Okay. Yeah, it's a tough
absolutely
for everybody.
Wow, I hate this quarantine.
I'm realizing how bad it actually is for Val. Again, based on secrets,
things that we'll
she
get into,
might lose her mind.
Yeah, remember this, listener. This moment, this exact moment, in a couple minutes here in the podcast, but. After all of the hell that is other people for the couple of days, as much as you, gosh darn it, really care about each other, getting some personal time in space is pretty good too. And vinegar is a lot.
Yeah.
You guys are kind of finally able to exit your guild hall once more. So you kind of have a week-ish to do as you will. What's a notable thing, I guess, that you do in that week? I'm assuming you're, you know, kind of doing the usual provisioning. You're doing the usual rounds around the city. You are kind of taking care of your chores, your usual researches, whatever. But yeah, what's an interesting thing that happens?
So 3 days into the quarantine, we're finally able to get outside
and get away from each other. And for Kaskrin, this is actually a special day because he has a prearranged meeting with Vina Calvetta. He sent off the report of the restricted section to her, and with it was a request for a meeting. Kaskrin walks across the city of Agmar to get to the Ruby Citadel.
Yes, the Ruby Citadel, a place in the city that we have not really, I think we've been on the outskirts of, but have not gone inside, I don't think.
Checkers climb it? Did he try to?
I think he wanted to. That was like one of the big landmarks he wanted to try to climb, but I don't think he ever got to that point yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Kaskrin walks past the guards. They're expecting him, mm-hmm. and makes his way to Vina's office.
As you walk through this essentially castle, you maybe just as much, if not more, than some of the other places in the city really feel the strict opulence of the Pentarchy. You get the impression that not a lot has changed in these halls. They've probably swapped out a few tapestries and taken out some of the more direct statues and such, but this is a beautifully constructed place. And Vina has an incredible office that actually oversees the entire city. You find her just sitting at her desk, which is also beautiful, ornate. It's no desk of doing, but is just as stately as you would imagine. Again, it might actually be left here from the original founders of the city. As you approach, a guard outside her door notices you and just kind of clocks you and knocks on the door. You hear from within her calling for you to enter.
Kaskrin makes his way into the office and takes a moment to take it in before bringing his hand to his chest in a respectful salute. He sees Vina paging through some of the details of the report that was sent earlier, and Kaskrin says, "Vina, thank you for taking the time to meet with me. I wanted to start by formally apologizing for my behavior after we had exited the restricted section. I got carried away, and I did not mean any disrespect by my words, by my actions. I wanted to make sure you understood that I didn't mean what I said."
Before you get kind of too much farther, she, with your report just kind of laid out in front of her and tons of other paperwork in her, you know, otherwise pretty organized desk, she just raises a hand and she says, "Let's put it this way. I've been around a lot of guilders in this line of work. Going on adventures plays into a lot of eccentricities that I've become very accustomed to. This is a very good report, actually."
"Thank you. Valeska helped me compile it, and I think that we make a good team."
"Very thorough, regardless. Were you here just to apologize?"
"I wanted to apologize, but I also wanted to assure you, Vina, that we are doing our best. It's just that there's so much information that we've learned over the past few weeks. We're trying our best to figure out how all of this pieces together for the good of the Red City. And it's a lot."
She furrows her brow a little bit and looks at you, and she says, "Do you or the rest of your guild feel your efforts are inadequate?"
"I can't speak for everyone, but some part of me does feel that way. I think that, yes, we did our best, but we could have always done more. We could have always done better. Maybe there was a way we could have saved the fortunate.
At this point, she'd been at almost attention, you know, very formal, very Vena Calvetti. And as you've said all of this, it's kind of unwound her a little bit. And she looks at you with a little bit of recognition and a little bit of understanding. Master Brightmane, I have been sending your reports and your guild's reports to the other city guards in the area. This side of the continent knows what we know. And we wouldn't know those things if it weren't for the Golden Tree Guild. Your actions have already exceeded the bounds of what anyone in charge of the Red Guard could expect out of a guild. I've read your files. You were a town guardsman, right?
Proudly, yes, for most of my career.
Well, I've seen a lot of us get bogged down in the little things. And when I say little things, what I mean are the little failures, or the little hardships that are very real and very impactful. But they also do their damnedest to ensure that we do not see all the good that we have done. You and the rest of your guild have done a lot of good for this city. I truly apologize on behalf of myself and the city if we have not done a good enough job convincing you of that.
Kaskrin takes a moment and lets Vina's words sink in a little bit. He feels his chest puff up a little bit. He kind of stands up a little bit straighter and feels a little more proud of himself. Thank you for your kind words, Vena. It means a lot coming from you, coming from someone I see as a commanding officer with your years of experience.
Kaskrin, I have not witnessed you all that often, but from everything I understand, you are a very formidable person on the battlefield and off. You strike me as very interesting because many guilders focus on how grand they are, how strong they've become, how big of a threat they're able to both be and overcome, what sort of things they're able to learn and discover. You are a guardsman. You remain a guardsman. And I find that an interesting balance.
Kaskrin has a thoughtful look on his face. He says, I never thought of it like that. I've been trying to do my best here in the Red City and before in Lotros. I've been trying to do my best for the people. Being able to be there for others is what's most important to me. More than power, more than glory. But having been an adventurer these past few months has taught me I can be so much more. I just don't know how to get there.
Frankly, guilders make me nervous. I appreciate them for the services they offer. I have even come to have good relationships with several, including your predecessors at the Golden Tree. But I often find them to be, at best, wild cards, who, even if they are doing heroic things, are not always keeping the service of others in mind as they do it. Kaskrin, I will tell you, I also believe that you can do more. I would be happy to be a resource to you, to discover what that might look like.
Kaskrin takes a minute to realize what Vina has offered and can't help the smile on his face. That would be amazing. That would be so generous of you, Vina. I've taken up enough of your time, though, for now, of course, but maybe we could meet again in the future.
Before you go, allow this to be my first piece of wisdom. When you are a guard and you fail, bad things happen. Life-changing things happen to the people that you are sworn to protect. And I know you know that. But something I have had to learn, both as guard captain and as a member of a notable family, as you bear more of these responsibilities, your job is going to be figuring out how to deal with those tougher parts while holding on to the town guardsmen. And that's the journey everyone has to figure out. I hope you get to figure that out sooner rather than later.
Kaskrin nods and says, "Thank you. I'll think on that." He notices Vina returned to her papers and takes that as a sign of dismissal and exits the Ruby Citadel. His thoughts are taking him to what's been happening the past couple of weeks, the adventures that he's had, but also strangely calm after talking with Vina. Kaskrin finds himself just wandering the Red City of Agmar for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the bazaar, the lake, the museums, the libraries, and really taking the city in again as his city, as his home.
Self, where does Kavos Pyrelighter, the red dragonborn brawler of the Verdant Wave Adventuring Guild, find you on whatever lovely or not so lovely day here in the Red City of Agmar?
So Selv is going to work out some stiffness in his joints and some kinks in his muscles, and goes over to the training grounds of the city guard and kind of goes into the sparring area to do some practicing and stretching and work on his forms.
I'm just imagining the sparring grounds of the Red City of Agmar is like kind of the vibe of those chess tables at like a public park.
Oh, yeah.
Where like most people are there to like have a fun, casual game, maybe learn something. And then there's like a couple people who take it too seriously.
And there's always one or two people that are just sitting at the sparring area waiting for a challenger to come in so that they could do the spar and then beat that person and then go on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are a couple of people who have like, "This is my first day here. I've never fought before. You want to make a bet?"
Yeah.
So you are sparring with just kind of a lot of good-natured people. You're probably even recognizing a few people from around the city at this point. Maybe a few stopped by your guys' self-defense classes at the guild hall. Probably a lot of people who are taking part in these are a little bit more advanced, at least the people that Selv would be fighting against. And, you know, it's pretty obvious that Selv is one of the best people in the city, if not maybe the best person in the city.
At least unarmed.
Right.
I'm sure if he picked up a longsword, it would not go as well.
Right. And as your, you know, kind of rocky toweling off after a fight. And, you know, someone's giving you a cool sports beverage to recover.
Rixonade?
Yeah. Well, it'd be Agmarade.
Agmarade.
It only comes in red.
Right.
You're a
I
voice.
Hate that flavor.
You hear a voice call out over the crowd. And it says, Asterlin.
Recognizing the voice, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Not many people talk like Dragonborns in the Red City of Agmar.
Right. Sylph will turn around and say,
Kavos, nice to see you again.
And then with a slight eye roll.
Kavos doesn't notice it. You see the exceptionally buff Dragonborn is also wearing a comfortable kind of workout outfit. And so he's just kind of wearing a, we'll call it medieval track jacket. He is wearing...
With his chest scales showing?
Oh, yeah, big time. He has a headband on and everything. And he says, get back in the ring.
So Sylph will take a quick look around. Upon hearing that, what are the other folks in the area doing?
They would really love to see you two beat the shit out of each other. So reacting accordingly.
This is their main event.
Yeah, everyone's like, fucking finally. We've been waiting for months for this to happen. They both show up, but never on the same day.
So Sylph gestures for them to cue his theme music. And
Okay, but now you have to tell me what it is.
It's just one guy singing.
Yeah. Sylph's walkout song is.
There's a song called Kick Some Ass that, while Sylph does not generally project that vibe, that is the vibe as he kind of walks into the ring. Sylph will nod and then say,
very well, this will be a wonderful cap to the day.
And will enter the ring.
Instead of joining you, he says, do you know the style of the fifth heat? And you would. It is like kind of a semi-choreographed martial arts sequence that is pretty advanced, but it's kind of one of those where you would do it for a visiting dignitary kind of deal. And it's kind of an old throwback kind of deal.
Yes, I am indeed.
He strikes one kind of pose, essentially inviting you to take part in this choreographed fight together.
Then Sylph will take the appropriate counter pose to what he has done, and as the initiator, wait for Kavos to perform the first maneuver so that Sylph can continue.
As is the form. He does so, and you guys start a pretty rhythmic, very flowing combat. As you guys kind of move through this sequence, and it's a couple minutes long, nothing too crazy. I have heard your guild has gone on a great many adventures.
We have been keeping busy, it is true.
And I see that you have survived these adventures, which to me certainly means either that you have become very adept at fighting or adept at running away.
Yes, as far as anybody knows, I have survived all of those encounters.
He starts to do a punch that was not a part of the regular move, but then remembers, I can't just punch this person right now. And he says, well, we shall see. Every 5 years at my monastery, we hold a tournament called the Pyre Festival.
I have heard of this tournament. It's the opposite years of Burning Mortal.
This year, my monastery is the host. And unfortunately, the Red City is filled with ill-equipped combatants. He says, looking around at all the people who have come to the fun little organized fight club.
I'm sure there are many worthy combatants within the city. But are you using this as a form of invitation?
There are no invitations. There is only notice. There is no date, only a location. You are told 1 week prior, and it is the obligation of individuals such as myself to ensure those who would not make a full mockery of the tournament and its long tradition are made aware. Prepare yourself, Asterlin, for when the bell rings, all interested must arrive.
Selv is going to stay quiet until the form is complete. Upon the turn and the bow to each other, Selv will stand up and say,
"It will be my honor to join you at the tournament."
He gives the biggest, wolfiest grin that he can muster and bows to you at the end of the sequence. As you guys finish the forms, and as he completes his bow, he just turns and leaves the sparring area. A few seconds later, after he's clearly out of earshot, a lot of people saying, "God, that guy sucks."
I have a question. Was everyone like super impressed by this form, or like, man, they're not even really fighting?
It was complicated. Well, it's one of those where it's like they really wanted to actually see them truly destroy one another.
I'm guessing it's more acrobatic and not like the punches, you know, are meant to miss.
Yeah.
Right. But I know what the form is. Are people disappointed they didn't get a real UFC deathmatch?
What I'm picturing is disappointment that it wasn't an actual fight, but still impressed at the acrobatic.
Right.
Athletic,
yeah. Because these are all people who like have some amount of kind of understanding and training of combat. Like it's not just random people. Well, there's probably some people who are just like in a weird field, like 50 feet away being like, "Yeah, punch him better." But these people, they all get it and respect the skill that it took to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that's not what they signed up for, so to speak.
Okay.
So after that's over, I will let Kavos make his grand exit and then turn to the folks who had some side chatter and say,
"Don't have to tell me twice."
Right. It's just, yeah, I don't know why he's so aggressive all the time. We're just having a nice time. He's always here on Thursdays and it's the worst. I don't even want to come on Thursdays anymore.
I'm sure in his own way, he means to be insulting.
That's exactly what he says every time.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Tumblestrom's Tome of Unicorns. This new book by Lucas Anderson offers 10 brand new unicorns and unicorn-themed stat blocks for 5th edition, including the Goopy Oozicorn, the Primeval Unicorn, and the Unicorn of Majesty. Each is accompanied with lore and plot hooks to inspire GMs using them for their campaign. There's also a section of unique magic items like the Bow of Fecundity. That's fun to say. Plus, all that is set to super evocative rock and roll zine art. Tumblestrom's Tome of Unicorns is a very flavorful and easy-to-use supplement and can be found right now on the Dungeon Masters Guild. That's TUMBLESTRUM'S, Tome of Unicorns, available now on the Dungeon Masters Guild.
Hey everyone, Jonathan here with the midroll. If you're looking for the hottest frog memes around, join the Reckless Attack community on Discord. You can find a link to it in the show notes of our latest episodes or on our website, recklessattack.com. Want to support the show? Tell a friend or check out our Patreon at patreon.com/recklessattack, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback show, as well as our new Reckless the Snack series, where we eat snacks, hang out, and just talk about whatever's on our mind. Thanks so much for listening to us, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the episode.
Hey, Sophie, how's Val doing? You know, it's been several days since you got out of the restricted section. It's been a couple days since you've gotten out of quarantine. How's Val holding up?
Val is uncharacteristically cranky. Part of it is quarantine. And unfortunately, she found out she picked a room that's really the main thoroughfare of vents in the guild. So it's a lot of pitter-patter of checkers and Taroth feet.
And everyone is also, like, every vent is closed, every window is closed because of the vinegar smell and also because of Taroth and checkers. So, like, it's the most stagnant, horrible indoor air imaginable. Mm-hmm. None of it is good. It smells, God bless her, but boy, it smells like donkey in here. Sorry, Hody.
Yeah, it's not been good. And, you know, she really tried to settle in that first night, really relax, and then realized her second imaginary friend is a strong word, doesn't go away ever.
No.
And she also comes to realize she doesn't sleep.
At first, you know, there's a lot of reasons, and I'm sure Val has gone through many of them, try to figure that out. I'd imagine, you know, kind of the first night where you had difficulty falling asleep was just kind of that, like, post-adventure adrenaline, or, oh my gosh, there's a lot happening. And also, there's this fucking spectral book person, the Liber Morte, just here in my room. Existing. And so, of course, I'm going to be a little on edge. I'm not going to sleep great. But then it happens a second night, and it's somehow even less sleep than you got the first night. And you feel kind of bad both days, but not fully bad. But again, it's adrenaline's kind of a weird thing. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the third night happens, and you're just awake. You don't even feel comfortable closing your eyes, let alone get anywhere near sleep.
Yeah, and I feel that as she's kind of gone through these couple of days, when the library dropped off their package of fun books, Val had Andromeda send a few books on insomnia and its causes. Mm-hmm. And as she's poring over these books, she hears a low chuckle from over her shoulder. And the Liber Morte chimes in.
You're not losing sleep for anything biological or psychological, if that's what you were wondering.
Val takes a pause because she's not used to somebody being over her shoulder and having someone constantly there when she's awake. So she takes, like, kind of a steadying breath and says, I have been wondering for 3 days.
It's nice to be talked to. I have a great many answers. And there's, like, a lot of sass from this book. Like,
we are saying both
it,
sassy.
He's saying it with a little, like, the Liber Morte is a very stoic book. There's a little stank on that when he talks to you.
I also feel this is the first teenager he's been for bound
sure.
to.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And let's remember, Val is 18 years old.
For sure.
This
for
is
sure.
her gap year.
Yep.
Yeah. He really thought he was getting into something very different than these days of being not super talked to or engaged with. Our partnership offers a great many things, you see. Knowledge, certainly, and power as well, should you care to engage with either of those things. But certain other things. Some would say one of the greatest gifts of all, time. You don't need to sleep. should you not choose to.
Thank you for that information. Val is torn between the sass and having more time to read.
It's complex.
And I feel like the Libra Morte can see that playing out on her face.
Big time. It might not be able to read your mind, but it knows.
Yeah.
It knows for sure. I urge you to reconsider what I know that you and your group are planning to do. I do not wish to go with the sorceress Lorana. It is not within my power to do anything about it. And I say that in the interest of being transparent. But the things that I can offer you, the things that we can be, are very rich in possibility.
Val sits in thought for a moment and eyes the stack of books on her desk in her room, the Libra Morte on top. And just thinking about what the Libra Morte says and feeling the temptation, she stands up, says, "All right," and grabs the pile of books and starts marching out the door.
And of course, the semi-corporeal form of the Libra Morte walks with infuriating calm at perfect pace to your furious stomping out the door.
As Val goes downstairs, I assume Berga is on Val's route out the door.
Well, is it in the morning? Is it at night?
Ooh.
So it could be just in the middle of the night. And you just finally got so frustrated that you were like, "I'm cracking open these insomnia books. I'll be able to figure it out by morning."
Let's say it's early morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is on her way to the library.
Mm-hmm.
So ideally, she, one, tells someone where she's going with all of the books they spent so much time and resources getting. But also she kind of wants Berger to come with her.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I would imagine Selv is up in Adam, so you could officially tell a fellow, like an adventurer guilder, that you are leaving with the books. And Berger would just, you know, like, be confused, a little concerned in that you have been increasingly erratic, but in just a grumpy teenager way over the last couple days. But it's like, oh, yeah, the library. Yeah, sounds good. This early in the morning. It's open? Okay, yeah, sure.
I'm now second guessing if I should bring burgers.
It's too late. It's canon. There's only two people who are awake at this point, so she's coming with.
Okay, well, I will say to Selv and Berga, I am headed to the library with all the books. I am planning to study them more. I don't know exactly what that entails, but one of them is sentient, and then I feel the need for more people.
Didn't we just get them out? You know what? Never mind. Go go to the library. You can send us a message if you need anything.
I don't know what type of spells I'll have after this.
I think she'll be okay. Berga says, like, whispering, like, "Oh, let me get my bag, yeah. I will watch herself. I think she's okay."
Very good.
I've seen her go out to the library much earlier than this, if I'm being honest. I'll watch. It'll be okay.
Is Val the kind of person who has, like, a tent outside the library and, like, has to be first in? For no reason?
But she doesn't need a tent for that.
Yeah,
she
right.
That's just the natural rhythm of the day, is that no one other than maybe the workers. And you're not sure. Maybe Andromeda lives at the library. It's not entirely sure. She seems to always be there when you're there. But it is bright and early, and wouldn't you know it, the Agmar Public Library is there to serve its constituents.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Val on finding out the library hours adjusted her circadian rhythm to. Yeah.
Perfect. So where do you tuck yourself away into the library to do the studying?
I feel that Val got the, like, worker tour. Like, you get hired at the library and this is a tour you get. She got that level of tour from Andromeda. And Val checks out one of the study rooms that is also kind of like a cell because of what could happen with magical books.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Like, they take them out of the restricted section and it's like, you can only read these books here.
Yeah, probably even with some of the ones that aren't in the restricted section, they probably have a vault that you can just be like, oh, yeah. Oh, can I interest you? Oh, I see you're in study room 4. We actually need you to read that book in vault 2.
Yeah. And we'll kind of give Andromeda, like, the rundown of, I'm going to start reading the Libra Morte in depth.
Well, if there's anyone who I would trust to do it here in the library where I work, it'd be you, Val.
Sorry to bring this news to you so early. I brought Berka as backup.
They kind of nod at each other and both exchange looks as you kind of like turn and walk away towards the vault. Mm-hmm. They're just like, is she okay? I think she's okay. Don't worry. It'll be fine. We'll watch her. We're going to go in the vault, etc.
Mm-hmm. Val will spend at least the full day reading / talking to the Libra Morte. She'll give Berga a heads up that this is a sentient book who appears in physical form to me. So it's not that weird for Berga.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Sure.
She'll also explain the reason she's been cranky lately is he's here all the time and I don't sleep anymore.
She just like keeps like looking at your eyes and then looking over your shoulder where you keep pointing to nothing and then looking back at you. Yeah. Sounds frustrating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let me know if I can help. I have my stack of romance book recommendations from Kaskrin, and I'll be...
I didn't give you those. What are you talking about, Berga?
The recommendations, not the actual books. Mm-hmm. And
she's got the whole Spice series.
Yeah, exactly. And she says, so whatever you need, I will be here.
Thank you, Berga. It's really more to just, you know, incapacitate me if you feel the need.
I can do that.
Because if anyone's going to incapacitate Val with zero questions in a way that won't permanently maim her, it's Berga. Checkers would do it, but maiming might be involved. Yeah.
But he'd have too much fun with it.
Hours go by. Again, you spend the whole day. And Berga is happy to be there. She checks on you every once in a while. She brings you snacks. She makes sure, you know, at one point she checks your pulse just to be sure.
Yeah.
And you find your eyes resting on a passage, or maybe the better way to say it is that the Libra Morte recognizes, in maybe a way that you didn't, that you've been staring at a page or a section of the book for a segment of time. This entity just leans over your shoulder, also looks at what you're looking at, and runs a finger over the page, just kind of downward. And it says, oh yes, that is something that we could do before she arrives, if you're interested.
Val takes her eyes off the page and makes direct eye contact with the Libra Morte. In her face, he sees curiosity.
So for Checkers, it's a couple days after the end of the quarantine, and he is finally free. Mm-hmm. He finally has the option to be out and about in the city. But what ends up happening is that Val...
Roll for initiative. Yeah.
You don't know, I got a note card of things now.
Yeah. As you're at the desk of doing, And I'm imagining this is like maybe the third day of the sleepless night, and you've been cranky, and it's really shown in the atmosphere of the guild.
Mm-hmm.
You hear a polite knock on the door. And at first you're like, oh, it's Kaskarin.
Yeah, herself. Berga must be outside. Right. Let me think of everyone I know.
It's
who isn't
not
Checkers.
Selv, because the knock would have been a lot higher. So it's got to be one of the shorter companions.
But you hear a small voice coming from outside the door. Val! Val! You in there?
Hey, Checkers! Val, very confused, because Checkers never knocks.
No, right. He would...
Already thrown off guard.
Usually he would be... If he knocked, it would be on accident because he hit his knee while crawling through a vent.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the only knock
like,
he would get.
Kicks the door.
Really messed up.
I'm expecting Val to just attack Checkers because obviously something has taken over Checkers or is pretending to be Checkers.
And the door cracks open. And what you see is not the usual Checkers.
Turbo Checkers. Yeah. I don't know why that was that's
my brain. Yeah.
Now I want Checkers to have a race car.
Yeah, right. Great. Check out my flame decals, Val.
It's not me.
Yeah.
I'm not Checkers.
Please tell
I'm
me
Turbo
it's Violet.
Checkers. Yeah,
please tell me it's Violet.
It's Charity.
No,
Charity.
It's
yes,
not Charity this time. So when Checkers walks in, you notice a couple things. One, he is holding his hands behind his back as though he is holding something.
Mm-hmm.
Two, in addition to his usual clothes, he is wearing a small apron with a little cute frog print on it.
Aww.
And three, the smell of baked goods becomes immediately apparent. And as Checkers enters the room, he says, Val, I know you've had a pretty rough few days, and, well, I know quarantine wasn't the best for anyone after the vinegar geyser and Sarath and I playing hide-and-seek. But I wanted to let you know that I've been thinking about you, and I wanted you to have something. And as Checkers walks to the desk, he continues with, when we were in the library, Titania shared this really cool recipe with me. He called it book milk.
Book milk?
And Checkers takes the tray out from behind his back and slides it on the top of the desk towards you. And what you see is a nice warm glass of milk and a plate of cookies. But upon closer examination, the milk looks like there's something in it. Like, it's like warm wood pulp,
almost.
Yeah,
it's like pulpy.
Yeah, it's pulpy. As though someone has juiced a book.
As if.
And the cookies... They look pretty good, like normal cookies, but they have these little shreds of paper inside them. I call these bookies.
Bookies. Bookies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know you've been under a lot of stress lately, so I wanted to make these for you.
Val, there's too many emotions happening, and she's already cranky, so she's just like tearing up at all of them, trying to experience everything at once. And she's just like... I really appreciate this, Checkers. Thank you so much for thinking of me. I can't tell you how much this has surprised and delighted me. And I'm going to end it surprised and delighted.
And you see Checkers looking at you expectantly, waiting for you to try one.
Val does it. She...
Tries go, which?
Both.
She's, how? More she's, detail.
Yeah. Val will,
tell me
I
more.
I need to know.
Val will pick up a bookie and dip it in book milk.
Go on.
And eat it.
And Checkers looks just so happy.
And she swallows before she can taste it.
Yeah. Because that's
she
how good it is.
She swallows the cookie before she can taste it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it, Val.
Thank you again, Checkers. I feel really loved right now. And Val will give Checkers a hug.
Aw.
Val finds Staroth and gives him the bookies in the book mouth.
I was going to say, like, the paper of the bookie gets caught in your throat, but there's nothing to wash it down with besides the book milk. Yeah.
And then you give it to Staroth, and he says, oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
I will look forward to eating these myself. Yes, thank you. And he just kind of like lecherously bows out the room, like his butt leading him forward, you know, and just like facing you. And after about 2 seconds, as he walks down the hall, you hear Taroth yell out, "Kaskarin, Master Dwarf."
Oh, did you make milk and cookies for me? Taroth, you shouldn't have. You're so kind.
No. Mistress Carter gave them to me.
Kaskarin, no!
And Taroth never lies. Canonically.
I mean,
no, Val literally yells, "No!"
Val, as you charge into the hallway, trying to stop whatever is about to happen, you actually run straight into Burga, who is out there, who is not glaring at Taroth in the way you would expect her to be glaring at her familiar at this juncture, because you see just beyond her, she is leading Namgar and a couple members of the Red Guard. Namgar's like, hey, Val, quick question. I'm sorry. It seems like maybe we're interrupting something. Have you seen Checkers?
He was just here in the map room a minute ago.
Nom! Val made us cookies. Do you want to try one?
No, no, no. Checkers made the cookies and the milk.
Well, it's very generous of you for whoever made it. And normally I want to say this because I want cookies. And in future days, I hope you invite me to eat cookies with you, no matter what is about to be said or what's maybe hopefully gonna happen in a good way.
Is something the matter, Nom?
Well, yes. Is Checkers up there?
Val just yells, "Checkers!"
Yeah, Val, what's up? It's a package for you.
It's wrapped in armor.
I want to thank you again for the cookies.
Oh, wow, that's great. And like, Checkers comes down with his cute little frog apron. Hey, Nom, what's up?
Checkers, hi. I hope you are well. There's no easy way to say this, but you are under arrest. And that is where we'll end this week's episode, everybody. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Checkers!
What did you do? What haven't I done?
But Self kind of like drops the his towel or whatever he was using, and
it seemed like you're fighting him nude.
Yeah, right. Is fine. Yeah, begins to take off his gi.
We're not a prude podcast.
No.
So
well, but he was, you know, drying off afterwards. But
yeah, sure.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. And then is nude.
Doesn't help.
Obviously.
Self fully clothed in his gi.
Okay, got it.
But Steve, drops, what's he wearing?
Drops the trowel.
Turns around, moons him.
Yes. And then takes off running. No.